God's plan for parenting. It is our desire and prayer at Life Enrichment Ministries that as every parent, grandparent, and future parent listens to this recorded message, God will bless you and that you will allow Him to work through you and mold you as you listen to what His plan for you in your God-given responsibility at whatever level of parenting you find yourself in today.
God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the deep. I want to talk to you today about a subject we'll call today, a man and his family and their children. The next seminar that we'll be writing, in fact, we've already yesterday, Polly booked us to go back to Crossroads Cathedral, where we go regularly every few months, to conduct a seminar that we'll be talking about parenting, how to raise children, how to be a good parent, how to do our very best. Some of the things that I might say today, as the Holy Spirit would direct, might bring back unpleasant feelings to those of us who are a bit older. But to those of you who are still in the process of raising children, I hope it'll bring good news. I realize the responsibility is great. Polly and I have two daughters, and now have four grandchildren. Our oldest grandson is 17 now. Time has a way of getting by. We feel keenly the responsibility of our own children, of their families. But they've made tremendous commitments to the Lord, families completely dedicated to God. Both of our girls are in a ministry of song and teaching and that kind of thing, and from time to time join us in seminars wherever we're at to share in our own ministry. This book, this scripture says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And so I want to talk to you today about one of the purposes of marriage. There are several, but I just want to talk to you about one of them in order to be able to share with you about parenting. One of the purposes of marriage is procreation. We've understood this to mean, through the years, bearing children or bringing children into the world. That's part of the responsibility of couples. He said, replenish, be fruitful, replenish the earth, multiply, and bring children into the world. The Lord loved children. Over in Psalms, He talked about how the children were a gift to the Lord and how they were precious. He said, the man whose quiver is full of them is blessed. But for many years, I didn't understand what this meant, what the original Hebrew word meant. I knew it meant bearing children, but I didn't know that it had further emphasis than that. And then I came to understand that it meant far more than bringing children in the world. It has three basic meanings. The first one, of course, would be to bring children or bear children and bring them into the world. But the second one is one that I want to talk about a little bit more. It also means the adequate care for a child. This is where we as parents have failed so miserably through the years. We have failed somehow or other to recognize in my own generation, and I've been in that same category, because I too have not done everything right, and I'm sure you would assume that, but I want you to know that I know that I've not done everything right in my life by 100,000 miles, and I'm not doing it all right today, if that'll bring any consolation to you. I don't know if I'm doing things basically wrong today. If I knew things I was doing wrong, I'd correct them. But I'm sure that I'm still making errors in certain areas of my life. Not that I want them to remain that way, but God's helping me on a daily basis. And as I walk with Him, He's teaching me how to please Him and how to do the job that I'm supposed to do for Him in the day that we live. When a child is born, there's one thing that child cannot live without. I didn't know this. I didn't understand this. The one thing God made the individual to have to have in his life was love. It has to be held. It has to be touched. Human body cannot make it. It cannot exist. It will literally die. In fact, it's a proven fact. In foundling homes where children are taken who are found without parents and are taken to a foundling home and are raised, who may have all the comforts and all the care and all the warmth, all the food and all the clothing that they'd ever need, but there's nobody to give them that intimate touch. And this pastor's got it. Did you see how he helped that little one a while ago? Oh, he's got that grandfather touch, I'll tell you. All the way. Boy, I could tell. He didn't really want to put that child down. He'd rather just go ahead and held it through the service, I know. That baby will have to have that kind of care in its life if it's to be the normal individual God intended it to be. It'll have to be held. It'll have to be touched. It'll have to be cuddled. It'll have to be talked to. It'll have to be listened to. It'll have to be cared for. And it's one of the greatest responsibilities. And in the foundling home I mentioned a moment ago, if they do not get that kind of care, if they do not get that kind of touching and holding and loving and care, the child will die before it's a year old. If not physically, it'll die psychologically. It must be there. Somebody said, and I've heard it said many times through the years, that if you're babying them too much, can't do it. Impossible. You baby a baby when they're a baby, and when they're grown, you don't have to baby them. Bet a lot of you like to do it over, wouldn't you? Love them, touch them, hold them, hug them. Have you seen the bumper sticker on the cars today that say, "Have you hugged your kid today?" Could not do anything more vital to your child's life right now than that. By the way, if your boy or girl's close by, would you just give them a big hug? Do it. Go ahead. Isn't that great? Look at the smiles. Hey, got some big boys here in this service. I can see that. Boy, tell you. Feels good, doesn't it? Doesn't matter how old you are, still feels good. It is the lack of this that has created the problems of our world today. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying this will take the place of meeting Jesus personally, or a daily walk with the Lord, or walking a Spirit-filled life. But I'm assuming that's already happening. But there's nothing next to that that will take its place. It's more vital than having $1 million. It's more vital than having a big home. It's more vital than having fine automobiles. And yet we've put premiums on these areas of our life. Dads have struggled to get the kids and beautiful homes and fine automobiles. And I can identify with that feeling.
And they need all those things, I'm sure. But the one thing they needed more than that, Mom and Dad, was your love and your care, your touch in their life. And it doesn't matter. Polly and I begin to say this because we begin to experience it in our own lives. We begin to teach couples that if they got their lives together at a new level, that God would alter their children's lives no matter how old they were. In fact, a lot of families were bringing children for counseling, and invariably, we later told them that the real key is for you and Dad to get it together. When y'all get it together, your son and daughter's lives will immediately take on a new dimension. Their lives will totally change as they see moms and dads begin to walk with the Lord at a brand new level. You believe that? It'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen every time. A mother overheard her four-year-old talking to another little boy out on the front step. Little neighbor boy said to his friend, "Where is your daddy? I've never seen him here. And he says, "Oh, he doesn't live here. He just sleeps here." And I'm afraid too often that's been the case with moms and dads. You know, couples get married, and for a while, things seem to go pretty well. And husbands seem pretty attentive. Wives seem pretty attentive. Everything seems to go pretty good. And then dads get involved either in a job or in a business they're trying to build. And the next thing you know, they start taking each other for granted. And this is where the whole marriage problem. In fact, many times on television, Pam Worrell or John Candler said, "You're going to be on television in a matter of moments. Going to be 70,000 people listening to you. What are you going to tell them to do? You only have 5 or 7 minutes. What are you going to tell them to do?" One of the things we've always said, start doing the things you used to do before your marriage. Start courting all over again. I believe it would solve most of the marriage problems today if couples would just go back to courting like they one time courted each other. I said that to one fella. I said, "Hey, just go back to courting her like you used to." He said, "Who ever heard of chasing a bus after you already caught it?" I said, "Did you ever hear of people getting thrown off the bus?" Well, according to U.S. News and World Report in 1975, 48% of them was getting thrown off the bus. U.S. News also said that in the past 15 years, from 1975, the divorce rate had doubled and that it would, in fact, double again in the next 15 years. Presently, because of divorce and marriages that are falling apart everywhere, every day, our homes are in a lot of trouble today. Listen, all Satan has to do to destroy any church is destroy the home. And for many years, the church has not been aware of that. And Satan has come in and destroyed many congregations because of the home and the relationships in the home. I was amazed when I came to find out that the divorce rate inside the church was only 2% lower than the divorce rate outside the church. No wonder we're struggling in many areas today, simply because there's not been that strong family relationship. Fathers were asked of their preschool children, "Are you spending much time with your children?" And dads always said, "Oh, yeah, we're spending lots of time with them." They decided in the survey that they would attach little cordless mics to the garments of the children and find out how much time dad was spending with the child. Preschool child. They come to find out by the actual count that dads were spending, on an average, 37 seconds a day. Compare that with another well-known figure. Depending on which books you're reading, some say 30, some say 50 hours a week are spent before the television with that preschool child. Let me ask you a question, parents. Who's going to have the influence on that child's life? What's going to be the predominating factor in that child's life? Who's going to help that child make decisions with dad spending 37 seconds a day? They ask him, are you having time with them? Are you having many encounters with them during the day? Oh, yeah, well, I'm with them off and on, you know. Just come to find out that we're having less than 3 encounters. When they came face to face, less than 3 per day. But what about the older children? What's happening in their life? It's just as severe. A national report recently said that parents are now only spending about 1 minute per child per day communicating with the child. No wonder kids are on dope, alcohol, premarital sex, involved in all kinds of things that you and I know are not right. If life is not lived at the level that God wanted it to be, which is happy and healthy and successful, the child will reach out to try to get that some other way. This is what drugs has attempted to do. It has attempted to, and it is, according to teenagers, meeting a need, but it's only done chemically, and it'll only destroy their lives. It'll destroy their minds. It'll destroy their abilities to do everything they ever intend to do in life, but they're reaching out for some kind of happiness. Moms and dads, if you're struggling in this area today, start today spending time with your boy and your girl. Dads often want to spend time with their boys doing things they want to do, but not what the boy wants to do. Find out from your son what he'd like to do and do that. It was like my uncle buying his wife a Christmas present. He said, I'm getting her a 12-gauge shotgun. And she said, now I'm getting him a sewing machine. You know, it's getting other people what we want. But give the kids the time they want. Spend time with your son, your daughter. Be sure you're spending adequate time on a daily basis. If you want to begin to solve problems, if you want to begin to alter the lives of your boys and girls today for the good, spend quality time with them. Life will start changing overnight, immediately. It is the lack of stroking that causes children to go in the wrong direction. It's the lack of touching, holding, hugging, communicating, which means talking, listening, and understanding all, that causes children to feel loved and feel important in the world today. It's vitally important that we do it. What about our teenagers? What's happening in their lives today? I already told you that the survey shows that parents are only spending 1 minute per day per child talking to them, communicating with them. This same child, in a recent report, said, was now, today, watching 15,000 to 16,000 hours of television by the time they're school until they've got through school, that 12-year period of time. 15,000 to 16,000 hours of time is spent in watching television, and another 13,000 hours is spent in the classroom, and all that they're getting in school today, as you know, Pastor, is not what you and I would like for them to hear. Compare that to the 1 minute per day they're spending communicating with moms and dads. Kids that come to us say, Mom and Dad haven't got time for us. Here, take this 5 and get lost. Me and your mom got things to do. Yeah, take the car. I don't care. Just be back here. Well, he's not saying that now. Just it is a real tragedy. It is a real tragedy what's happening in the lives of our boys and our girls today. Compare those figures together. You've got 1 hour with mom and dad in that period of time compared to 400 hours in front of the television or in school, are a total of about 28,000 hours spent in that environment with 72 hours spent with mom or with dad. When they come to make decisions, Dad, who's going to be the one to help them decide? The next scripture I want to share with you comes from the book of Proverbs. And it simply says, and train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, even when he's old, the New American Standard Bible says, even when he's old, he will not depart from it. You train them, Dad. You train them, Mom. Doesn't say television train them. Doesn't say other people train them. You train them. And if you'll train them, even when they're old, they'll not depart from it. It's vitally important that we spend the necessary time with our children on a regular basis. Several years ago, a couple by the name of Sandy and Harry Chapin did a song. I want to read you the lyrics. I think it says what we're saying today. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. And he learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he'd grow, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. I'm going to be like you someday. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man in the moon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? And I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. As he walked away, he said, I'm going to be just like him. Yep, I'm going to be just like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man in the moon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll have a good time then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came home from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can we sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I really like, Dad, is to borrow the keys to the car. See you later. Can I have them, please? When are you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired, and my son moved away. And I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you, son, if you don't mind. And he said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You know, my new job's a hassle, and the kids have the flu. But it's sure been nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure been nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. And the cat's in the cradle, and the silver spoon, the little boy blue, and the man in the moon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know. But we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Does that strike a note of guilt in your own life, as it did in mine?
Please advance this tape to the end and turn to side two for the remainder of this teaching.
We failed to spend the quality time that our boys, our girls needed when they needed it. I think we have tremendous responsibility in teaching them. Not only teaching them,
but introducing them to Jesus. I think the greatest responsibility, and I think it ought to bear on the shoulders of every mom and every dad, the responsibility of winning their child to Jesus. I think that ought to be utmost in every life. The responsibility of introducing your boy or your girl or mine to Jesus can be likened to a three-man relay race. As we attempt to get the baton into the hand of our own child. In a relay race, maybe there was your father, and he started around the track with the baton, symbolic of the gospel and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, firmly fixed in his hand. The bell came and he handed it to you as a belt today. And now you have it in your hand. And the critical thing is for you to get it from your hand to your boy and to your girl's hand. The greatest mistake you'll ever make, Mom and Dad, is to assume, because you brought them up in church, to assume because you worked for God that they'll follow Jesus. Don't ever take that for granted. Don't ever just assume that'll happen. Make sure, make vitally sure, that you get the baton, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, safely into their hands. And as any track coach will testify, the race is won or lost in the transfer of the baton one to the other. A fumble, a miscalculation, and the baton is dropped, and the race is lost. But in our race, it may be lost eternally. I read several months ago the account of the story of Eli, found in 1 Samuel, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th chapters. As I read those chapters, a heaviness fills my soul. He was a man that gave himself in the service of God. But somewhere along the way, failed to introduce his own two sons to the Lord. They grew up evil to experience the severe judgments of God upon their lives. That bothered me. That really bothered me. And then I read the story further and found that a man named Samuel, who came to Eli as just a little boy, grew up in the same environment, saw Eli on a daily basis consistently losing his own children, and Samuel made the same mistake. I don't know where you're at, Mom, with that. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with the children. I don't know if you have brought them to know Jesus. I don't know what's happening in your life today. But I can tell you that you will not do anything more important in your life today or for the rest of your life than leading your boy or your girl to Jesus. Now, the ideal time is to do that before they're 6 years old. At 6 years old, the will is set. Once they're in a public school, they'll decide, have a mind of their own. It'll be more difficult. Under that age bracket, you can say to them, son, would you like to know Jesus like a pastor? Yeah, I really would, Dad. What do I do? You just let him come in your life. I'll lead you in a prayer. You follow me. And that boy or that girl accepts Jesus. But each year that goes by, it becomes more difficult, more complex to bring them into this relationship that I'm talking about today. But I want to give hope to you, no matter where you are or the age of your children today. I can tell you that Polly and I are serious about what we're doing. We spend full time in ministering to the family. But for over 30 years, the most important fact and activity of our life has centered around the one hope of bringing our own family into a deeper, closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Mom, Dad, I don't know where you're at this morning, but the Lord knows about your needs. He's concerned. Doesn't matter if your children are 50 or 60 or what their age is today, these principles still work. Jesus loves them, and His one purpose is to bring them to know Him. It thrilled me when I read His word, which said, He was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to Him. That includes your son, Dad. It includes your daughter, Mom. No matter where they are today or how far they may be away from Jesus, God is speaking to their lives. You may think at times I'm alone in this. Nobody else cares. Jesus cares. And every day, He makes a constant attempt to bring your son, your daughter, to a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you like to see him brought to a new relationship? How many moms and dads in this audience today, and how many grandparents today? One of the things probably I've heard so many times. One young man said, I wouldn't be a Christian today if it were not for my grandmother. My mom and dad didn't do it right, but I had a grandmother that knew how to pray, that led me to Jesus. Grandparents, you have a tremendous responsibility in shaping and molding the lives of your grandchildren in the hour that we live. How many will raise your hand this morning without your heads being bowed? We've come for the same purpose, for renewing, to be drawn closer to the Lord, to win more people to Jesus. How many parents and grandparents in this audience today would slip up a hand and say to that Perry, I want to lead my family into a new relationship with Jesus. Will you just raise them up all over the building? Will you do it? Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to stand now. Stand to your feet. Amen. Oh, I want to help you. I want to help you. It's a little bit late. And I really am not happy about the fact I kept you a little past 12. But I'm happy about the fact that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life right now. And He's ministering to your life in a special way. I really want to obey the Lord this morning, and I'm a little torn about what to have you do at this moment. I don't know exactly what time you're accustomed to going home today, but I can assure you that would not only be worth missing a meal today, but it'd be worth missing a meal for 30 days to see that son and daughter brought into a new relationship with Jesus. That wouldn't be a bad idea for couples that have children that you're uncertain about, that you begin to fast and you begin to pray and you begin to wait on God. I can tell you it will not go unheard. He cares about them today. I'm going to give you the freedom in a moment if you have to go to do it. But before I do that, I mean by that, if you're committed, you must go, I'm going to let you do that quietly in a moment. But before I do that, I'm going to say for every mom and every dad that's serious about your children, you want to be instrumental in bringing them to a new level of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I would ask you quickly, step out in the nearest aisle and come as close to the front as you possibly can. Let's feel this front. All those of you who raised your hand, those who didn't raise a hand, but now feel the need, I want you to come.